Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani. My name is Avram Goldar, and today we're Sechaz Erevin Daf Kuf. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was stated in the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Tzadik Tes on the base pertaining to a tree. Shvarshav gvoim mina arat shlosh tfachim or yeshav alen. If its roots protrude out of the ground to a height of three tfachim above the ground, one may not sit on them because they have the din of a tree which is forbidden to make use of on Shabbos. On this daf, there's a malchokas in a case of roots of a tree that protrude upwards and then bend downwards from above three to within three tefachim of the ground, whether one can make use of the part of each root which drops within three tefachim of the ground. Rava says, Mutu ishtamish behem, it's permitted to make use of them, to call pachas meshoshet the ara arahi, because anything less than three tefachim above the ground is halachically regarded as ground. Rav Shesha says, Asu ishtamish behem, it's forbidden to make use of them. The kevin mekoch isr kaasi asurin. Since they emanate from a prohibited section, meaning the part of the root which is above three tefachim, they too are prohibited. Point number two, as part of a larger discussion whether it's meritorious for a woman to petition her husband and request marital relations, the Gemara brings a statement from Yitzchak Bar Avdim who said, Esther Klalos Niskal of Chava. Chava was cursed with 10 curses, but he only mentioned 7. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said the other 3 curses were Atufa Ka'avel, she's wrapped up like a mourner, which Rashi explains that she's embarrassed to go out with her head exposed. Menuna Mekol Adam, she's cut off from all people, which the Gemara explains to mean that she's prohibited from marrying 2 men, whereas a man is permitted to marry 2 women. Mechavusha Bebeis Asurin, and she's confined to a prison. Rashi cites the Pasuk Kokvudu Basmel Kpnima, the entire honor of a king's daughter is inside. Because of a princess's dignity, she doesn't go out to mingle with the common folk. Nonetheless, it still constitutes a limitation on her freedom. And point number 3, Rabbi Yochanan said, Imali Odnit Netorah, Hayinu Lamedin Tznios Mihakatul. Had the Torah not been given, we would have learned modesty from a cat, the Gazam and the Mala, not to commit theft from an ant, La Rais Miyona, not to commit adultery from a dove, Derecheretz Matarnagol Shemafayis Va'achachach Boel, and the proper conduct for marital relations from a rooster, which first appeases its mate and then has relations with it. Rashi explains that a cat doesn't defecate in the presence of people, and it also covers its excrement, and store in the summer what they'll require in the winter, and no ant steals the food of another, and a dove has relations only with its partner. So once again, the 3 points are number 1. It was stated in the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Tzadik Tes on a base pertaining to a tree. Shrashav gvoim mina aretz, shlosh tefachim lo yeshav alen. If its roots protrude upwards out of the ground to a height of 3 tefachim above the ground, one may not sit on them because they have the din of a tree which is forbidden to make use of on Shabbos. On this daf, there's a malchokas in the case of roots of a tree that protrude upwards and then bend downwards from above 3 to within 3 tefachim of the ground, whether one can make use of the part of each root which drops within 3 tefachim of the ground. Rabbah says, Mutu ishtamish behem, it's permitted to make use of them, to call pachas meshloshin da'ara arahi, because anything less than 3 tefachim above the ground is halakhically regarded as ground. Rav Shesha says, Asu ishtamish behem, it's forbidden to make use of them, they came into mekoach iser ka'asi asurin, since they emanate from a prohibited section, meaning the part of the root which is above 3 tefachim, they too are prohibited. Point number 2, as part of a larger discussion whether it's meritorious for a woman to petition her husband and request marital relations, the Gemara brings a statement from Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdim who said, Esra Klaus Niskalo Achava. Chava was cursed with 10 curses, but he only mentioned 7. When Rabbi Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said the other 3 curses were Atufa Ka'avel, she's wrapped up like a mourner, which Rashi explains means that she is embarrassed to go out with her head exposed. Menuda Mikol Adam, she's cut off from all people, which the Gemara explains to mean that she's prohibited from marrying 2 men, whereas a man is permitted to marry 2 women. Mechavusha Bebeis Asurin, and she's confined to a prison. Rashi cites the Pasuk Kokvuda Basmel Kapanima, the entire honor of a king's daughter is inside. A princess doesn't go out and mingle with the convo because that's her dignity, but nonetheless, it still constitutes a limitation on her freedom. And point number 3, Rabbi Yochanan said, Imali Lanit Natorah, Hayinu Lemeidim Tznius Mehakatul. Had the Torah had not been given, we would have learned modesty from a cat, the gazelman the mala, not to commit theft from an ant, va'arayis meyona, not to commit adultery from a dove, and derech eretz metarnagol shemefayis va'achachach boel, and the proper conduct for marital relations from a rooster, which first appeases its mate and then has relations with it. Rashi explains that a cat doesn't defecate in the presence of people, and it covers its excrement, and store in the summer what they will require in the winter, and no ant steals the food of another, and a dove has relations only with its partner. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Kuf, and the simon is a monkey. So here goes. The curious monkey, sitting on the roots of a tree protruding upward, then bending downwards, wrapped his head like a mourner, and performed his antics in front of a modest cat, an honest ant, a dove, and a rooster. So once again, in slow motion. The curious monkey. Monkey, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf. The curious monkey sitting on the roots of a tree protruding upward, then bending downwards. Which reminds us that there's a machlokas in the case of roots of a tree that protrude upwards and then bend downwards from above 3 to within 3 tefachim of the ground, whether one can make use of the part of each root which drops within 3 tefachim of the ground. Rava says it's permitted to make use of them because anything less than 3 tefachim above the ground is halakhically regarded as ground. Rav Shesha says it's forbidden to make use of them since they emanate from a prohibited section, meaning the part of the root which is above 3 tefachim, so they too are prohibited. So the curious monkey sitting on the roots of a tree protruding upward, then bending downwards, wrapped his head like a mourner, which reminds that Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said that Chabu was cursed with 10 klalos, but he only mentioned 7. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said what the other 3 curses were, one of them being Atufa Ka'ava, she's wrapped up like a mourner, meaning she's embarrassed to go out with her head exposed. So the curious monkey sitting on the roots of a tree protruding upward, then bending downwards, wrapped his head like a mourner, and performed his antics in front of a modest cat, an honest ant, a dove, and a rooster. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, had the Torah not been given, we would have learned modesty from a cat, not to commit theft from an ant, not to commit adultery from a dove, and the proper conduct for marital relationships from a rooster. So once again, the curious monkey sitting on the roots of a tree protruding upward, then bending downwards, wrapped his head like a mourner and performed his antics in front of a modest cat, an honest ant, a dove, and a rooster. All right, now it's time for a 4 blot back Hazara. Dav Tzadivav. So the Simmer Dav Tzadivav is a town crier. A town crier. So here goes. The town crier. Town crier. That must be more on Dav Tzadivav. The town crier who proudly proclaimed, Shabbos is an os, no tefillin today. Which reminds us. The Gemara tries to determine who the Tana is who holds Shabbos Zman Tefillin. One is obligated to be on tefillin on Shabbos and suggests that it's Rabbi Akiva. This is rejected based on a brisa that taught. Rabbi Akiva says, Yachol yaniach adam tefillin b'Shabbos yamim tovim. One might think that a person must put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yamim Tovim. Talmud Lomar v'ayelo chala os ha'yadcha, and it shall be a sign to you upon your arm. Misha tzrichin os, on those days that you need a sign, tefillin must be worn. Yatsu eilu she'en gufan os, but excluded are those days which themselves are a sign. Shabbos is called an os, and since Yantav is called the Shabbos, it is likewise considered an os. So the town crier who proudly proclaimed, Shabbos is an os, no tefillin today, was shocked when he saw the king's daughter walk by wearing tefillin. Which reminds us, Abraisa states, Michal bas Kushi aisa menaches tefillin v'lo michu b'chachamim. Michal, the daughter of Kushi, who Rashi explains to Shaul, would wear tefillin, and the sages did not protest. The Gemara infers from here that since women are only obligated in Mrs. Asi Shaul's mangrama, positive mitzvahs that are not time-bound, and are not obligated in positive mitzvahs which are time-bound, by the fact that Michal wore tefillin and the Chachamim didn't protest, which Rashi explains to mean that they didn't see this as if she's adding a mitzvah to the Torah, we see that the mitzvah of tefillin applies at all times. This means that the Tana of this brisa holds that the mitzvah of tefillin also applies at night and on Shabbos, as otherwise it would be a mitzvah at a set time. The Gemara concludes that there's no proof for this because there's a Tana of Rabbi Yossi who holds that although women are not obligated to do time-bound mitzvahs, they are also not prohibited from doing them. So it might be that the Tana of this brisa holds that tefillin are not worn at night or on Shabbos, and it's therefore a mitzvah zasei mangrama. However, Michal was still permitted to wear tefillin if she chose. So the town crier who proudly proclaimed Shabbos is an os, no tefillin today, was shocked when he saw the king's daughter walk by wearing tefillin, carrying twine threads of tchelos that were cut into pieces that she found in the marketplace. Which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar said, "Hamotzi tchelos min hashuk." If one finds tchelos in a marketplace, "Lashonos psulos chutin kasherin." If the tchelos he finds are strips of wool, which is combed and colored, it's pasul, and if it's just strings, it's kosher. Rashi explains that the reason the colored wool is puzzled is because we're concerned that l'tzav l'shem tzitzis, it was not colored with the intention of being for tzitzis, and the lack of intention makes the tzitzis puzzle. The Gemara asks that in the case where he finds wool strings, they too should be puzzled, being that maybe the strings were spun with the intention to make them into clothing. The Gemara concludes that Rabbi Elazar was discussing a case of strings that were shazuring twine and cut into pieces. People would never go to the bother of reattaching short threads and then weave them onto the border of a garment. Dav Tzadi Zayin. So the Simmer Dav Tzadi Zayin is a chess master. Chess master. So here goes. The confused chess master. Chess master. That must mean one Dav Tzadi Zayin. The confused chess master who just purchased tefillin from a non-expert, which reminds us. Rav Chisda said in the name of Rab, Halokeach tefillin mimi she'eino mumcha. One who purchases many pairs of tefillin from someone who is not an expert in the laws of tefillin, which Rashi explains to mean a middleman who purchased them from someone else. Bodek shtayim shel yad va'akash shel rosh. He must examine 2 arm tefillin and 1 head tefillin, or shtayim shel rosh va'akash shel yad, or 2 head tefillin and 1 arm tefillin to determine their validity. The Gemara clarifies that the middleman bought the tefillin from one person, and we must establish that the sofer who wrote them is expert in both arm and head tefillin. Rav Kahana brought a brisa that one need only check 2 tefillin, 1 arm and 1 head. And the Gemara answers that the brisa follows Rebbe, who says, Betrei zimni havi chazaka. A chazaka is established upon the occurrence of an act two times. Rebbe concedes that if someone bought several bundles that come from different sofrim, then a chazaka needs to be established for each one. So the confused chess master who had just purchased tefillin from a non-expert was told to take three steps at a time and keep stopping, which reminds us. The Gemara clarified that according to the Tanakhama of the Mishnah on Daf Sadiheh Amud Beis regarding finding tefillin in the field, if the danger is posed by sakanas listim, highwaymen, molichim pakus pakus ma'arba amos, then one should transport all the tefillin by walking less than four amos at a time. Rabbi Shimon says, nosin l'chavero v'chavero l'chavero. One should pass the tefillin from person to person until one reaches the city. The Gemara explains that the Tanakhama holds walking less than dalad amos is preferable, since with the method of passing from one person to another, Ashva Milsa the Shabbos, the matter of disrespect for Shabbos, is needlessly publicized. Rabbi Shimon holds it's preferable to pass from one person to the next, since there's concern with the method of walking less than Dalad Amos that one might not realize and come to carry Dalad Amos in Mishus Rabbin. So the confused chess master who just purchased tefillin from a non-expert was told to take three steps at a time and keep stopping, and to ignore the line of people passing a barrel of freshly drawn water. Which reminds us, it was stated in the Mishnah Daf Tzadihi Amud Beis, the Rav Yehuda said, Nosin Adam Chavis, a person may give a barrel containing water to his friend, and his friend to his friend, even if the barrel is transported beyond the owner's tchum. The Gemara asks, if Rabbi Yehuda does not accept what was learned in the Mishnah and Beya, Habahema Vakelim Karagli Abalim, animals and kelim are as the feet of their owners, meaning they may not be carried beyond where the owners may go. After the first answer was rejected, Rava answered that the Mishnah was dealing with a barrel that acquired its makum shvisa and tchum of the owner, but the water had not since it was drawn from a spring or river on Shavuos or Yantim. Transporting the barrel beyond the tchum is not problematic, the batel chavis l'gavi amim, since the legal significance of the barrel is negated vis-a-vis the water. The barrel is tafel to the water. A third answer is also provided. Dav tzadiches. So the symbol of dav tzadiches is clowns, chok, clowns. Here goes. The circus clowns, clowns, that must be one dav tzadiches. The circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine while one sat on an iskupa, which reminds us. The mission on the bottom of dav tzadi zainam base stated, if one was reading a scroll on a threshold, and one end of the scroll rolled from his hand and landed in Rishus of Rabin below, he may roll it into himself. The Gemara asks, what's the case of the threshold? The Gemara suggests that the threshold is a Rishus Yachid. It's 4x4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim high, and the sefer rolled into the Rishus of Rabin in front of it. Even though there's concern that the scroll might fall out of his hands into the Rishus of Rabin, and he might come to bring it from the Rishus of Rabin back onto the threshold, we're not gozer the Rabban, because Rav Yehuda says the ratio of the Mishnah reflects the opinion Rabbi Shimon who holds, Kol davar shehu mishum shvus eino omed b'nei kisvei kodesh. No law which is only of rabbinic origin stands in the way of treating kisvei kodesh with their due respect. The Gemara brings two more approaches. So the circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine while one sat on a yiskupa and the other read up on the roof, which reminds us, the next case in the Mishnah stated, Hayikor b'rosh agag, if one was reading a scroll on a roof and it rolled into Rishus Rabin below, if it reached within 10 tefachim of the ground, he may not roll it in. Rather, he should turn it over on its written side so that the lettering is unexposed and leave it there until after Shabbos. The Gemara asks if it's permitted to turn Kisvei Kodesh over on the written side based on a brace of the Tat, Kosvei Svarim Tefillin Mezuzos. Those who write Sifrei Torah Tefillin Mezuzos are not allowed to turn the parchment face down to protect the lettering from dust, Oporus aleh is a baguette, but rather one should spread a garment over it. The Gemara answers that the Brice is talking about where it's possible to cover the written side with a garment, but in the Mishnah's case, it's not possible since it would require a very large garment. And if he doesn't turn it over on the written side, eke bizion kisvei kodesh tvei, there'll be a greater disgrace to the kisvei kodesh than if he were to turn it over and conceal the writing. So the circus clowns did their silly unraveling scroll routine, while one sat on a skupa and the other read up on the roof, as a third clown kept dropping his glass utensils that he put out on the window ledge. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ziz shulifnei chalon nosin alav menot mimenu b'shabbos. If there were a ledge 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim off the ground in front of a window, one who is in the building may put things on it and remove things from it on Shabbos. The Gemara asks what type of rishus the Ziz was extending into. If it was rishus of Rabin, there should be a concern that something might fall off the edge and someone might come to bring it back in the rishus of Yachid. Abai answers that the ledge is extending into Rishus of Rabim, and the Mishnah was referring to Kelim and Shibarim, breakable utensils such as earthenware or glass. Since they'll break if they fall off, there's no concern that someone will retrieve them. Dav Tzadi Tes. So the similar Dav Tzadi Tes is a cheetah, so here goes. While one cheetah, that must be wrong, Dav Tzadi Tes. While one cheetah chased an unseemly Talmud who spat from Rishus Yachid into Rishus of Rabbim, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzedek Ches Amud Beis stated, Yamud Adam Rishus Yachid Yashim Rishus of Rabbim. A person may not stand in Rishus Yachid and urinate into Rishus of Rabbim. Rishus of Rabbim Yashim Rishus Yachid, or stand in Rishus of Rabbim and urinate into Rishus Yachid. Vechen will Yaruk. And similarly, one may not spit from one Rishus to another. On this daf, Rabbi Yosef said, Hishtim Virak Chayv Chatas. One who did urinate or spit from one Rishus to another is Chayv Chatas. The Gemara challenged Rabbi Yosef's ruling, but in regards to Hotzah, we require that a Kirin Hanacha be performed on an area that is 4 Tfachim square, which is a significant area, and therefore in this case, where it is not coming from a place that's 4 Tfachim, there is no act of Akira. The Gemara answers that his Machshava Mashvi Elei Makom, his intent makes it a significant area, meaning that since he intended that this object leave this particular place, this place becomes significant, and therefore his action of Akira is considered a halachic act of Akira. So while one cheated chase an unseemly Talmud who spat from Rishus Yachid into Rishus Rabbim right in front of his Rebbe, which reminds us, Reish Lakish said, Keach bifnei rabu chai misa, one who coughs up phlegm in the presence of his Rebbe is liable to death at the hands of heaven. And it says, Kol masanai ahavu mavis, all those who hate me, the Torah, love death. Altikra masanai, don't read it as it's written, those who hate me, el lamas ni'ai, rather those who cause others to hate me. If a Talmud acts in such a vulgar manner, he'll cause people to hate Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Gemara clarifies that we're discussing someone who coughed up phlegm and spat it out in front of his teacher when he could have turned aside or coughed up the phlegm into a cloth. So while one cheated chased an unseemly Talmud who spat from Rishus Yachid into Rishus Rabbim right in front of his Rebbe, a second one pursued his friend who drank water directly from the gutter less than 3 tfachim from the roof. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Kod Adam min ha-machzil le-matam yud tfachim, a person standing in Rishus Rabbim may hold up a vessel in the air and catch water that's falling from a gutter which is lower than 10 tfachim from the ground. The Gemara says that the Mishnah implies, kol in of a mitzaref lo. Catching the water in midair as it falls from the gutter is permitted, but pressing one's mouth or a vessel to the gutter is not. The Gemara asks why the latter is forbidden. Rav Nachman answers, hachaba machzila pachas meshloisha samach gagaskinen. We're dealing here with a gutter that is less than 3 tfachim from the roof of the building. The kol pachas meshloisha samach gag kagagdami, and anything less than 3 tfachim from the roof has the status of the roof itself, based on Lavid. Therefore, anyone who takes directly from the gutter while standing in Rishus HaRabim is chai for transferring from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn if a scroll unrolled from a roof to within 10 tfachim Rishus HaRabim, one should turn it over on the written side? That's on Daf Tzadiches. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we discuss carrying under a second story over 2 houses that are on opposite sides of Rishus HaRabim? That's on Daf Tzadihei. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we learn that Chava was cursed with 10 klalos, one of them being that she's wrapped up like a mourner, meaning that she covers her head? That's on Daf Tzadites. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we learn that a breach in the corner of a chatzar is not considered a Pesach because people don't make entrances in the corner of the chatzar? That's on Daf Tzadidalad. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we learn that if the Torah had not been given, we could have learned modesty from a cat and not to commit theft from an ant? That's on Daf Tzadites. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we learn that Rabbi Kiva holds that Shabbos loves man tefillin because tefillin is only worn on days that are not an os? That's on Daf Tzadivav. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we discuss purchasing tefillin from someone who's not an expert? That's on Daf Design. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do you learn about the case of putting things out on Aziz was referring to breakable items where there's no concern that one will retrieve them from Rishus HaRabim? That's on Daf Tzadiches. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you learn that Abai holds that extending a roof completely over the vines in a house is a case of Siluk Mechitza, eliminating the Mechitza? That's on Daf Tzadigimel. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do you learn the coin to Rabbi Yehuda, the Escupa was a Rishus Yachid, and that one can roll the scroll back because it's Kisvei Kodesh? That's on Daf Tzadiches. Good, now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn about the proper responses to the loss of good and wise people? That's on Daf Kufei and Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn about the importance of washing to give honor to Hashem? That's on Daf Nun and Shabbos. Good. And number 3. Which stuff do we learn about the bracha on rice, on orez? That's on Daf Lamed Zayin and brachas. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.